7. If you want to look there, I'm just going to make a few comments because that's where the thought comes from that I'm building upon. I'm trying to show what it means to have a sandy foundation. It's a faith in a assurance, in a belief that everything is all right between you and God, and thinking that you're well ready for heaven, only to find at the end of the line that it was a lie. God gives an example in verses 21 through 23 of Matthew 7 about a bunch of people that really thought sure they had done everything they could. As far as they were concerned, they did great and mighty works, wondrous works in verse 22. They called him Lord, Lord. And so you know that they were religious and they did religious work. But they were deceived. You take the foolish virgins. We're waiting for them. But yet they didn't have a good foundation. They had a sandy foundation. It's a tool of the devil to deceive, as I read in this earlier. And he's artful at it. He's very successful with it. He's going to deceive the last generation, the last world. The Bible says in Revelation, he'll deceive the whole world. That's what it says. If you carry the picture in your mind, what is going on all the time? The devil is aiming with every bit of his power and influence to get to the place where he wants to be called God. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it tells you he makes it there. He gets in the temple of God and is worshipped as God. That's his goal ever since he was kicked out of heaven. The mystery of iniquity is that spirit working in the world constantly and progressively as the days go by. It increases, it increases, it increases. It's changing, constantly enforcing more and changing more and corrupting more and deceiving more. More effective than it's ever been. And so Jesus said, the last days, the sign of the last days, deception, deception, deception. Beware. Yes. And so I'm wanting to build this on because I really believe there's a large number of people. You hate to say words that I'm going to say. But the majority of the people that think they're going to heaven are not going. Now you want to just, every mind would reject that immediately. You just can't accept that. You think that, I was telling H, I said that song they wrote years ago, and it dealt with the rapture, and it pictured planes coming out of the air and mass accidents and all these things going on during the rapture. It was deception. It was deception. One shall be taken, the other left. They're hardly going to know that the one left. You don't see a twinkling of the eye. It's gone. If I was standing beside you, whichever way. And you was raptured and I wasn't. I looked, hey, where'd he go? It'd be like that. You're not going to see him put on a white gown and all of a sudden send to heaven. It's not that way. It's not going to happen that way. Somebody's going to be left behind. A bunch of somebody's going to be left behind. And there are people that do not have a foundation that'll weather the storms. They'll not endure. They'll not continue to the end. They don't have anything to help going for them. In fact, they don't have one verse of the Bible to support their assurance of salvation, but yet they've got it so strong, you can't shake it, you can't touch them. They made their profession of faith. They've said they're saved. They've done everything some preacher told them. They're sure. You can't budge them. I don't care what it was. You can face them with hell, and I don't care what they do. They go to hell before they'd ever change their mind. They're saved. They're saved. They're missing something. They're missing the key to heaven. They're missing the only assurance you can have you're going to heaven. And that's the Holy Ghost telling you. Nobody else. Nobody saying, did you read this? You know this? You understand this? No. The only true assurance that you could have, no man can give it to you. No man can tell you this. No man has a right to slip into this area of your life. Only the Holy Ghost of God has the authority. Man looketh at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So the only one that knows you inside, the only one that knows what your heart is the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells you in John chapter 3 that you're born of the Spirit. It says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit. It's not born out of you just reading words and saying words. Not born out of you just following a plan. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the Bible tells us in John, in Romans chapter 8, his Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. It's the only thing you could have. Anything other than that is a sandy foundation that will collapse at the end of the line. I've thought this out different ways, and it's in both incidents in Matthew chapter 7, it talks about one, verse 24, that is obedient, he does the word of God. In verse 24, and the foolish man that doesn't obey God, in verse number 26, and doeth them not, shall he liken unto a man, foolish man, build his house upon the sand. And so I'm trying to help us to see. You do have questions about Christianity. You do, if you know your Bible and you know the Spirit of God, you have questions in your mind. Why do some people believe they're saved when there's just no evidence there? Now, let me make it clear. I said it last Sunday. I'll make it clear. I'm not looking for retreads. And what that is, that's an example of what some of the old preachers would say. You try to get somebody to get saved over and over again. I don't want that. I won't even get an invitation. I simply want people to be aware of what Jesus said will be prominent, something that will be outstanding in the last days. This will be something that's at the front of the line. What's causing people to miss heaven is deception. Thinking themselves to be ready. You've got a world full of people. If you have never been door-to-door visiting, maybe I'm speaking strange things. If you went door-to-door, we've went door-to-door years past to every one of the communities, Stanton, Waynesboro, Stewart's Draft, everywhere we went, we'd knock on doors. 9 out of 10 people, we'd talk to them about their soul, being ready, I'm saved. I've had them stand in the door, can of beer in one hand, cigarette in the other, and say, "Sir, do you think you'd go to heaven?" "Why, no, I'm saved." That's kind of strange. That don't line up with the Bible. And so, Lord, my helper, I'm trying to make us see what I'm wanting you to do. This morning, I don't know whether I'll be successful. I want to show how the devil has dealt with people. He has actually put them in a stupor. The devil has. A stupor is where you're conscious, but you're not aware of what's going on. You're awake, you see, but you really don't see in depth. You might say you're short-sighted. You don't see the depth of a thing. I was telling Ace this morning, I said, one of the examples is what's happening to America right now. Majority of Americans are literally in a stupor when it comes to socialism. They can't see the effects. They can't see how it's coming in. They couldn't see the wave of that wickedness sweeping over our country. And all of a sudden, oh, what's happened? Some of them woke up. Not many. Some of them still don't believe it. But I'm saying that's kind of what the devil has done over the years, especially the last 100 years. Now, the great falling away didn't happen all the time. It came at the end. It came just before the Antichrist. That's the stage you're in right now. Just before the Antichrist. That time will not come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That time will not come except there be a great falling away. That word great falling away means a departure from the truth. Departure from the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus came full of grace and truth. You can't worship God. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't worship Him. You can't know Him without the truth. He is the truth. And it's the truth that's been attacked by Satan and distorted the minds of the people. Satan has always wanted a following. He wanted to be called God. And he believes he's got a way that's worth following. And certainly he is moved in the last 100 years. You see, if you just kind of put things together, 100 years ago, there was great spiritual movements in the land. I'm telling you, overseas, on the mission field, you read of some of the greatest missionaries going over China and India, and you read of, if you read history, back 100 years ago, there was some of the greatest revivals, mass crusades, hundreds being saved, I mean really saved, going on with God. In Finnish revivals, people don't like Finney. He was too strict. In Finnish revivals, as high as 80% of the people that profess salvation in Finnish revivals, as high as 80% went on to serve God the rest of their life. You know what the percentage is today? 1%. 1%. What happened? This is what I'm trying to preach. This is what I'm trying to get across, this message across. There's been a change made. It's not like it was. You know, it's like people say, well, when I went to school, we had a teacher that read the Bible. They're not reading the Bible in the school today. They're not teaching what they taught you. Not even in the ABCs. It's changed. People, it ain't that way when I was. It's different. And religion is different. I can remember back when most of your mainline churches, could you picture this now? Most of your mainline churches would get together for a meeting with either John Wesley or one of the other great evangelists, and people from every denomination would come. They was all preaching one salvation. Repentance towards God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'd all go. It wasn't hard to see people from almost every denomination come into a meeting. A town was going to have a meeting. They'd all go. Let's go to the meeting. Didn't matter what kind of church. They differed in other areas. They differed maybe in sanctification and some kinds of standards and different things like that. But for the most part, salvation was by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God, faith in the Lord Jesus. That's gone. Long gone. And the devil has deceived people. Turn with me to Isaiah. I've got a picture of it here. I believe the Lord helps us to see it. If you need to read your Bible with me, and just as I give it to you, you're not going to understand what I say today unless you follow in your Bible. Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But, problem, it's not God's fault. It isn't that God don't want to save. The problem is with man. It's always been with man. God's willing to save sinners. This is a hard word for us to, and you've heard me say it a few times, but a person has to be savable. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, let me ask you a question. You know your Bible? Do the people that have stony ground, are they savable? The word bounces off. It just bounces off. We'll get into some of the others. Probably won't make it this morning, but the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that there's some that's never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Never able. I'm not writing this. I'm just preaching with my. It's something people don't want to accept. People don't want to accept the truth. The truth is resisted. The truth is rejected. The truth don't fit the salvation that's being presented in our day. It just don't fit with what people are saying is salvation. But it's people's fault. Notice what it says. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not. Look at that last word. I mean, it's like we got God in the corner. If I pray, if I cry, he's got to listen. Read verse 2, the last word. Last two words. Three words. Will not hear. I don't care who you are. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care what you know of the Bible. I don't care whether you cry and plead and scream and holler and rant and whatever you want to do. Bible says here, if you're in sin, God will not hear you. The little old boy that stood up before the Sanhedrin, when Jesus healed his eyes, took the blindness away? That boy had some theology to him. He told him as many words as, I don't know what all you're saying, but he can say, I can tell you one thing, God heareth not sinners. Read your Bible. People that won't repent, he don't listen. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquities, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. That's the state. What a picture the world of today is in this chapter. I mean, it's just, when I get done with this chapter, and I'm not going to get through it, but you're going to, if you're any student of the Bible, if you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you, you know what it means when people close their ears to the truth. Just don't want to listen. If you pastor, I've pastored now for over 40 some years, and you can read people's faces pretty good after a while. It's one of the art of preachings. You know how to preach. You learn to read faces. You know when people like the word, love the word, hate the word, don't want to hear the word. They can't hide it. It comes out on them. Their countenance tells you what they think about the Bible, how they feel about Christianity, how they feel about the Holy Ghost of God telling them that they need to do something, get right. Comes out. None call for justice, none pleadeth for truth. They trust vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hack cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth the eggs dieth, and he that is crushed breaketh out into a viper. The webs are shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and their act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Boy, you've got a generation today that's doing that for sure. Notice it says, so many of these passages, I like to stop and just preach for about an hour on. Their thoughts, verse 7, are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. They're thinking, they're reasoning. You get back to Genesis chapter 6. That's why God gave up the whole first world. The thoughts of man are only evil continually, he said. They can't think righteous thoughts. They can't think pure thoughts. They can't think right. They've so corrupted and defiled their mind. That's what you read in Titus chapter 2. At the end, even their mind and soul is defiled. Their conscience is. It's through this world. Verse 8, the way of peace, they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. They designed their own way to live. I was going to say, and I mentioned this, I think it was somebody this morning. You've got people that will say, well, Preacher Owen, a lot of these preachers nowadays, they're just legalists. They're just legalists. They believe that there's laws you have to obey. They're legalists. Listen carefully before you make an opinion in your mind. If I took you over to 2 Peter, I'll tell you why preachers today call other preachers legalists. Because the false preachers in chapter 2 of 2 Peter says the false preachers promise the people liberty. Live as you please. Live the way you want. Listen carefully. There is, now listen carefully. If there's no law, then there is no, I hope you think on these thoughts. If there's no law, there's no moral code. There's no absolute right and wrong. If there's no law, there's no moral code whatsoever. It's do as you want to. That's why it says in Peter also, they think it's strange that you don't run with them to access. That work access is just throwing off all the reins. It's just letting it rip. Whatever feels good, do it. It's your body. It's your life. Live it as you please. Nobody can tell you you're wrong. There's a Father up above that designed us and made us that has every right to tell you exactly how to live. You're not your own. You're not your own. You need to read that in the Bible. You're not your own. You need to read it again and again. You're not your own. You didn't make yourself. You might think you did. But you didn't make yourself. Man didn't make you, and you didn't come out of a bullfrog. God made you. Bless his holy name. And David said he did a good job at it, fearfully and wonderfully made. Did a great job of it. You study this thing under a person that believes in creation, and boy, it'll shock you. Some of the things, even medical science, so far beyond them, they can't figure it out. How wondrous we are made. Amen, amen, amen. I'm not going to make it. I'm sorry. Because of this, because of the way they live, the way they think, the way of peace they know not. Verse 8, and there's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth in it shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Rule and order and direction. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light. Please read these verses. We wait for light. Wait for understanding. Want to know. I want to know what's right. We wait for light. But behold, obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. That's one of the most frightful things. If you ever think about that in truth, the depth of that meaning. The Bible tells you in Romans chapter 1 that their foolish heart was darkened. You know what that means? That means you cannot comprehend or understand the truth. What does it mean? It means the light's turned out. The Bible tells us that God lights the light of every man. He wants them all to be saved. He lights the light of every man. You resist this Bible, and the light gets turned. Preacher, how do you know that? Well, I got a Bible. I got a Holy Spirit of God that helps me with my Bible. I just believe the Bible. I don't believe what I think. I don't believe what I know. I don't believe myself. I believe the Bible. It's the only thing I can trust. I'm influenced by everything around like you are. You hear this, hear that, hear this. You try to decipher all that and say, what is truth? What is truth? The Word of God. Final authority for faith and practice. Can you imagine that? Notice what it says in verse 10. They grope for the wall like the blind. And we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. I'm reading the Bible. I'm talking about literally what happens to people that go away from God. You'll find that down in these verses before I get done reading. Verse 13. You'll find it down there. It's hard to accept these things. God wouldn't do that. If you don't believe God wouldn't do that, then go back in Genesis and read it over and over and over again, what he did to the first world. God says, he looked at man, and I'm paraphrasing in as many words, wished he never made him. Destroyed them all. All but eight. Whole world but eight. Man, it's going to be a mess. As of the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming. It's going to be millions of people going up to rapture. As of the days of Noah. I hope it's more than eight. It's going to be such a small one that you won't know what happened. The news won't pick it up. I guarantee it. I'm going to close. I'm not even going to get to preach this morning. Here we go. We roar like all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment. There is none. For salvation, hope you read your Bible. We're looking. We look for. We're searching for. For salvation, but it is far off from us. You got your Bible? Say, preacher, that's Old Testament. Yes, sir. I can take and show you some of the same verses are similar in speech in the New Testament. I won't have time this morning. I think this puts the whole picture out clearly in one condensed one chapter. Just shows the pitiful state. It says, let me read the rest of this. But it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Boy, you know, that's a good thing. That's a good thing right there. That helps me to understand that there's not a total loss here. Their conscience is still alive. They still are conscious. It says they sins. We know them. We know them. The only reason you know you're guilty or you're a sinner is the Spirit of God deals with your conscience. That's why Paul said he kept a conscience void of offense. He didn't want something beating on his conscience all the time, saying, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. He said, I exercise myself that I might have a conscience void of offense. That's the only way you can have peace. It's the only peace you can really have in your life. Now watch verse number 13, in transgressions and lying against the Lord. Notice the next two words, and departing. That's your apostasy. And departing away from our God. Speaking of repression and revolt. Conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off for truth. Is falling in the street, and equity, justice, equity cannot enter. Can be no justice. No truth, you have no justice. You can't have any kind of true understanding and wisdom without the truth. You can't base truth on your knowledge, your intellect, your academic level. You can't base truth on that. The only real truth is in the Word of God. That leaves out all the other influences that affect you when you're trying to make a decision. When you're trying to make a decision about a person, decide what you think of them and what kind of person they are, you can't be truthful. If you have any kind of love for them or any kind of hate for them, it'll distort the truth about that person in your mind. You can't make a decision about anything right without the Word of God, without the truth. And truth is falling in the streets. It's falling under this level of wisdom that man thinks he has. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, thinking themselves wise, they became fools. And you've got a generation that the devil has subtly deceived them, saying, you're right, you're okay, yeah, that's good thinking, that's good reasoning, that's the way it is. You're seeing it right. And their foolish heart is darkened. Their understanding is up here, tells you how that it's just, they're groping around and stumbling, and they don't have any understanding. Say, preacher, that's a bleak picture. That ain't near as bad as it really is. I can't preach it that way. I can't picture it in your mind. Because I know in our day, in our minds, we take what I just read, like some people would say, as a grain of salt. You just take some of it. I don't think it applies today, and I don't think that'll work. And I don't, come with me. I don't personally see it that way. I'm telling you, I have a good mind, a sound mind, and I don't really see it that way. I believe it's different than that. I don't believe God is that strict and harsh in dealing with people. You want to read where Jesus walked no more in areas, went no more to certain places, where he walked away from people. He went to his hometown, and because of their unbelief, the Bible says he did not many mighty works there. He just walked on. Left his own hometown because of their unbelief. It's probably one of the most dangerous things you can do is to sit with your mind and say to yourself, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You see, anything that's distasteful to us, we'll have a tendency to reject. Preacher, you realize? No, I don't really. I don't know how many people's included in this. Do you know how many people got sandy foundations? You know people that you question their lifestyle as Christians. You know people like that. And it's people that you like. It could be people that's your loved one. Could be your brother, your sister, your mother, your dad, your child. And you know what you'll do? That ain't the way it is. The Bible says the last days they will resist the truth. Turn their ears to fable. They'd rather hear it another way instead of what the Bible says. Preach it to me soft. That's what they said in the Old Testament. Make it smooth. Make it smooth. Told the prophet, don't bring him before me now. Make it easy. Do some ear tickling. You say, preacher, why? Because I believe time's short. I just believe my Bible. I see this handwriting on the wall near as I can. I feel eternity's close. Whether it be by death or by rapture, I believe death is close. And it's not a bad thing. Don't get in your mind that death's a bad thing. My, can you think the wonder of being taken up to heaven? Get to see. It don't matter who's there. Get to see Jesus. That's all that's important. I want to see my dad. I believe he's there. I do. I believe my great-granddad. I got a letter he wrote to his children back in the early 1800s. He was a tough old man. He acknowledged all his wicked ways. He got down the last page and he said, I went to the meeting and he said, God did a work in my life, changed my life, and tells about how it just changed it totally from what he was. And he said, oh, now I want to see you all in heaven, my great-granddad. Good. I want to see him. I want to see him. Make sure you're standing on the rock of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the words of men, but that precious voice that speaks to you on the inner side. You belong. Talk to him. Cry, Abba, Father. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to help you. He wants you to draw close to him. He's your father now. Cry, Abba. It's a wonder of wonders. It's a wonder of wonders that Jesus loves me. Shall we stand? Read it. Read it. Read that chapter. Read it over and over again. Read it over and over and over and over and over again. Read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read them over and over again. He don't tiptoe. He don't sidestep. He doesn't have an easy way. He said, it's either death to yourself or you're not going to follow me. A man who will deny himself, take up his cross and follow me is not my disciple. I don't care who he is, what he says, how he lives. If he don't want to follow me, he's not mine. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. You know the next words? And they follow me. Period. That's it. They don't go to the world. They don't follow another religion. They don't follow their own intuition on thoughts and ways. They follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They're his disciples. A disciple is a follower and a learner. You follow him. Amen, amen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming. Weigh these things out. They should help you to pray. You've got loved ones that are not saved. Boy, that Bible's true. It's an awful thing to miss heaven. Awful thing to miss heaven. It's true. There is such a place called hell. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless your holy name. Thank you for your word. I can't say it that way, and I can't think it that way without you. I can't believe it that way without your word saying it. I have a hard time with it, except your word says it. I have a hard time agreeing with it, knowing people and loving people and being around people, and it causes great strain on the soul and the mind to think those things are so true. And yet I believe them. Check my heart, and best I know, I believe it with everything I've got, that you're true, you're righteous altogether. Thank you for the help. Thank you for the people you set out this morning. I pray they'll consider these things. They'll weigh them out. They'll go home, think about them, meditate on your word. Read it over again. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Pray over it. God will speak to their heart. Bless our country. Awaken our country. Let them not be in the stupor that these other countries were before socialism took over. God, please help us, I pray, in these days. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed. Amen.